Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 20th of November. Tonight, in an address you will hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, President Obama will announce the executive action he's taking on immigration. It's believed the plan has these elements: up to 4 million undocumented immigrants who have lived in the U.S. for at least 5 years can apply for a program that delays deportation indefinitely and allows those with no criminal record to work legally in the country. Another million will get protection from deportation through other parts of the plan. There will be expansion of the existing program for Dreamers, young immigrants who came to the U.S. as children, and there will no longer be a limit on the age of people who qualify. After the announcement that there would be a speech tonight on the Senate floor, senators made their thoughts known, and they had wildly different ideas about the president's plan. Senator Tom Coburn from Oklahoma said, "You're going to see, hopefully not, but you could see instances of anarchy. You could see violence." Senator Barbara Boxer said the president's actions will help the economy by keeping immigrant families together. If we don't act, the dire situation of undocumented immigrants will only get worse. We're going to have three perspectives on tonight's expected action. A national political reporter for Bloomberg will be joining us, top of the show. A staff correspondent for National Journal will be with us. And later in the show, the managing director for Presente.org will be welcoming phone calls all hour. And here is how you reach us: 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@WPR.org, Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, at K Dunn Show. Julie Baikowitz joins us first, national political reporter for Bloomberg. She's been writing for them since 2011. Prior to that, covered state politics, city courts, and crime and suburban news for the Baltimore Sun. She wrote a recent piece, "Immigration Reform is Just Too Hard for Congress." Julie, hello. Thank you very much for being with us.
Glad to be with you.
You bring us back to a time that wasn't all that long ago. You write about rewriting U.S. immigration policies was a popular cause. You had business owners, labor organizers. They were co-signing letters to Congress. Small-town sheriffs and pastors were flying to Washington to meet with lawmakers. What happened?
Well, that's really a great question. And what we tried to say in our piece this morning was that it may have actually just been that it was too big of a lift for Congress. That is, too many people wanted a piece of the bill. And as you gather up all of the interest to sort of weigh in on something, that also means that there are that many people who could have a problem with the legislation and ultimately sort of doomed its chances.
Mm-hmm. Real reform can only come from Congress. Is that right? Real reform on this issue, pathway to citizenship, taking care of all of the people who are here illegally. The president will give some measures tonight, but it won't be what Congress could do.
That's right. And I think that's what you'll hear the president say. There's a lot that he can do and that he's planning to do. And in fact, it's so much that you've got Republicans sort of threatening lawsuits over it, or even possibly, you know, stopping the work of Congress over it. But I think President Obama will be the first to talk about how really revamping the system in such a way that you address the 11 million or so undocumented immigrants in this country and really create some cleaner legal channels for people to come into the country, that can all only be done through Congress.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing what senators have been saying on the floor today. Some are saying, oh, you might see anarchy, you might see violence. I mean, those are pretty sensational statements from some senators, aren't they?
They are, and that sort of plays into another sort of issue that's coming up here, which is that a lot of folks believe that while we do certainly have a need to address immigration policies, that what the president's doing is a political maneuver, and it's designed, in some people's view, to sort of drive another wedge between Republicans and Latino voters. And then, of course, on the other side of that argument, you've got, you know, Democrats saying that Congress inaction is in itself sort of a political response that they need to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So politics all the way around.
Yeah, well, it's hard to not see this as some kind of a political maneuver, isn't it? I mean, he just suffered pretty bad losses during the midterm elections and wants to get the base excited again. Obviously, politics are at play here in a primetime address on this issue and executive order, don't you think?
Well, I think that that's a compelling case that's certainly made by some Republicans, and in fact, many Republicans on this issue. But I think what the president would say and his allies would say is, you know, look, we tried to give Congress a chance. We've given them opening after opening on this issue. We, in fact, even got a big bill that would have accomplished a lot of different goals through the Senate in 2013. But we just can't keep delaying, and something needs to be done. So mm-hmm. I think that's their viewpoint.
And on the other hand, the Republicans must be feeling some tension, because you've got all kinds of different opinions on this being spouted. I read Senator Tom Coburn's opinion. A lot of Republicans must say, wait a second, you're going too far with what you're saying.
Well, it's a tricky spot for Republicans to be in, because I think, you know, what you've seen over the past few years is a growing recognition among Republican Party sort of bigwigs and even, you know, senators in many states that, you know, really something does need to be done about immigration, and Republicans can't be seen as always just saying no. Otherwise, they are going to sort of isolate an entire voting bloc. But on the other hand, you've got House Republicans who are concerned about, you know, primary challengers that may take a completely different view on that and really just want to sort of crack down on illegal immigrants and not revamp the system in such a way that you would be giving, you know, legalizing the people who are here. So it's really the Republican Party has some significant internal strife over this issue.
Yeah. So, Julie, from your reporting on this, what are the Republicans likely to do in response to what the president says tonight? Do you have a handle on that?
Well, I think what we're hearing that I think you can brace for is, you know, Governor Scott Walker is right up there saying this as well, that there likely will be some sort of legal pushback. That is, you know, a group of Republicans taking the executive actions by Obama to the courts. So we could see some legal action on what happens. And then, of course, you've got senators like Ted Cruz saying that the Congress can block funding for various programs and can sort of wield its power to do what it can to stop what the president's doing as well. So there could be a congressional action on it. There could be a legal action on it. There could be both.
Well, what is the truth on this legality here? I have read, and many law professors would concur with this, that it is within the authority of the president, that the executive branch of the government can determine how immigration law is applied. And if you look historically, the American Immigration Council has said there have been 39 times since 1956 that presidents have used their authority to grant relief to immigrants.
Oh, that's right. I mean, in fact, President Reagan, the first President Bush, took executive actions along these lines. So there does seem to be precedent. I guess what we're hearing on the other side is that it's the sweep of what Obama is reportedly going to do that gives them pause. So that may be an entry point for some type of litigation. I think we'll just kind of have to wait and see what happens next on that.
The other thing, and Julie, give me a sense of why he did this. It's my understanding that President Obama did deport a huge number of people who were here illegally, more than any president has ever done so. Do you see this as kind of an about face on his part? Why would you have deported so many, and now you're coming up with an executive order?
Well, for a while now, he's been sort of increasing reprieve for immigrants who may be here illegally or undocumented immigrants. And so what he's doing is expanding on those initial steps that he started taking. And, you know, again, I think he would say that what he had been hoping for and what many immigration advocates that I talked to had been hoping for is a big bill from Congress that addresses a number of different issues, everything from visas to what to do with people who are here illegally in the first place to border security, all of that. And since that has not happened and now seems pretty clear won't happen, at least for the remainder of his term, he feels that he wants to, you know, fulfill a promise that he's made to at least start to tackle the issue.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to some phone calls for you. We have three guests during the course of the hour. Julie Bykowitz is our guest, the first part of the program, and we're welcoming your phone calls at 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, talking about tonight's address. We have some idea of what the president is going to say because the administration has let it be known what some of it's going to be. So the press has reported on this pretty widely. Julie is national political reporter for Bloomberg, and we'll go to your phone calls, 800-486-8655. Bob and Nina, our first caller on this topic.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hey,
how
Bob.
You?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just want to mention that you stole most of my thunder by mentioning that this has been done going back to Eisenhower era, and Walker's just too dumb to know what is going on. I mean, good Lord. I don't know how anybody can take him seriously about anything that he says anymore. You know, he's got a college dropout, and he's in a realm where he has absolutely no knowledge of what he's saying anymore. He has to be told what to say, and to him even come out with that, and reporters even ask him that, I just dumbfounded by that whole thing, so...
Well, he's certainly not the only Republican who's thinking of a presidential run who's saying that this needs to be answered legally, is he, Bob?
No, Cruz is
right.
Cruz is just as dumb, and Cruz he'd like to see the whole government shut down again, and for the American people to go along with this again, Walker's already dumbed down Wisconsin, and Cruz wants to dumb down the whole United States again along with Walker, so. I mean, I'm just befuddled at what's going on.
Thanks for the call, Bob. Is a shutdown a possibility and a real possibility, Julie?
I don't think so. I think what we're hearing more and more is this idea of pursuing litigation, and that's what Scott Walker has been talking about. And he's not alone. I mean, there certainly are others out there saying maybe we should take to the courts on this. In fact, Mike Pence is another governor who's floated that idea. And I just also wanted to add that this is kind of a timing issue because as Obama was talking about immigration yesterday, Republican governors were meeting in Florida, mm-hmm. all conveniently in one place, and spent quite a good bit of time talking to reporters about their reaction to what the president was going to do. So that's why we have basically talk to every Republican governor
right.
about this issue.
Right, they were all there.
They were all there.
Yeah, Bob, thanks for the call. Ruth in Altoona, hi.
Yeah, so far I haven't heard much conversation about the economics of this in our own country and how we rely on these workers coming in for all kinds of business across the country. And we've even had people within the state of Wisconsin, businessmen, were willing, I don't remember his name, but he was willing to come out publicly and say, look, you know, these are people who, you know, our economy in Wisconsin relies on for doing certain types of work, and they need to have the legal right to be here. So on the one hand, we attract this population in with jobs, and on the other hand, then we want to say, oh, no, they aren't here legally. The economics behind this is huge, and I think that has to be addressed in economic policy as well.
Well, I think, I mean, if I could just quickly chime in here, I think that that's exactly right, and that's where you get into a lot of the varied interests coming to Washington and lobbying for very specific provisions that would benefit their own industries when it comes to the labor force. And I don't think there's any question that this does boil down to an economic issue. You just look at Alabama as sort of exhibit A on this. The state passed extremely tough anti-immigration laws and really has suffered in a demonstrable way in terms of its agriculture, its productivity, and in fact, people have really suggested that they walk back some of those laws. So every tweak that you make to immigration policy has direct economic blowback to it. And again, that's kind of what we were getting at in our story this morning, is that there are just so many interests at stake here that it becomes difficult to put them all together into a coherent piece of legislation that can actually pass both mm-hmm. chambers.
You know, and a lot of the angle, too, is a very human angle as well. Families being separated and people, you can't really ignore the issue of people making this treacherous journey to come to the United States so that they can work. It is a part of all of this, isn't it?
Oh, I think so, and I think that's really something that I expect the president to hone in on
yes.
in his address tonight and then with his follow-up visit in Nevada tomorrow when he talks more about what he's planning to do.
Mm-hmm. And tell me about tomorrow. He's going to Las Vegas. Why Las Vegas?
Well, Las Vegas has a huge immigration population, and it's growing. It's really one of the fastest growing areas of the country that's attracting immigrants. And he's, in fact, visited this very same school that he'll be at when he first started talking about immigration reform. So it's sort of a return visit for him and a way for him to sort of point out, you know, I've been here before. I've been right. asking for Congress to address this issue before. And so I'm back here sort of reluctantly to say I'm going it alone.
And let's go to Tony in Pleasant Prairie. Hi, Tony.
Hi. Thank you very much. My thing is that I know myself, and gosh knows there has to be thousands of taxpayers that feel the same way I do, and that is Republicans are always harping on government waste, okay, from the governors to the U.S. Congress. They don't have money for us vets. They don't have money for education, this and that and everything else. But they're always quick to waste our money on these frivolous lawsuits, be it from DOMA, you know, the Defense of Marriage Act, be it the ACA, which is the Affordable Care Act, and now this. When they know that 9 times out of 10 they're going to lose, as they have in the past, and all they're doing is just making themselves look better to their base, but they're wasting our money.
Well, they were successful in eliminating an important part of the Affordable Care Act. It would seem to me as though they're seeing some successes, Julie, or they wouldn't contemplate going that route.
Well, they're seeing some successes, but I think your caller raises a point that, you know, Democrats would certainly be making as well, which is that there is an element of grandstanding. There is an element of we're taking this to court to get the headlines, to get the issue, you know, keep the issue alive and to sort of speak to our base. So I think there's both a chance at success, but also a guarantee that you'll be communicating with a block of voters.
Mm-hmm. Julie, thank you very much for being with us and for reporting on this today. We appreciate your reporting and your time.
Well, thank you for having me.
Julie Bekowitz, national political reporter for Bloomberg. Lauren Fox joining us next, staff correspondent for the National Journal. She's been listening to a lot of what the senators had to say because she is in the Senate, what do you call the room? She's in the room. She's at the Senate now. So we'll talk to her. And later in the hour, the managing director for Presente.org, a prominent Latino advocacy group. And we'll welcome more phone calls. Thank you very much, Tony, for your call. Our number remaining the same, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Lauren writes today that Republicans see an upside to a government shutdown over immigration, and we'll talk about why as she joins us in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're spending this hour talking about what the president is expected to say tonight in his primetime address to the nation on immigration. And we're talking with several people about what the Republican response may be. We want to remind you that the address will be heard tonight, followed by Republican reaction and analysis. It will be hosted by NPR's Melissa Block. So NPR's special coverage tonight, presidential address to the nation on immigration at 7 o'clock in the evening. Lauren Fox is with us now, and Lauren is staff correspondent for the National Journal, previously an associate editor at U.S. News and World Report, where she covered Congress, immigration, gun policy, and politics. She's also written for The Atlantic, Salon, Bustle, and more. And Lauren, hello. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
So did you hear what was being said on the Senate floor today, Lauren?
I did, yes.
And some of this, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I think that Republicans are very upset that the president's moving forward with his executive action. Many of them are saying that they wish that the president would have given the Republican-controlled Senate some time to actually mull over comprehensive immigration reform before he, quote, this has been used by many Republicans, poisoned the well with some kind of executive action on his own.
Mm-hmm. And what do you anticipate, you've written about this, the Republican reaction to be? Will it be, will they go as far as a government shutdown over this?
Well, I think there's a lot of concern right now about whether or not Republicans can really use the power of the purse to stop the president's executive action. And I should say that we haven't seen exactly what the president's going to do, so it's hard to exactly tell. But if the president looks at issuing more visas for immigrants who are in the country illegally, that the government agency that gives those visas to folks, you know, it's funded by fees. It's not funded by Congress. It's not funded by these tax dollars. So it becomes increasingly more difficult for Republicans to stop the president from executive action using the power of the purse. With that said, there still is a lot of noise coming from especially conservative members of the House Republican Conference who are calling for, the government to do whatever they can to defund, you know, programs that are important to the president. And essentially that confrontation can always lead to a government shutdown. I think there is a feeling that the last government shutdown really didn't hurt Republicans all that bad when it came to the election. So I'm not sure that there's much concern that a government shutdown hurts them politically.
What about the other route that could have been taken? Tell me if you think this would have been a feasible and a good one for the president to say, okay, I'm going to meet with Boehner and McConnell. We're going to have a lot of lunches and dinners together. We're going to try to find some common ground so when the new session begins in January, we can take on this issue and work on it collaboratively. Is that just a pipe dream?
Well, I think it's difficult to know, you know, what could have happened if the president didn't issue this executive order that we know he's going to issue tonight. With that said, I think that, some of the Republicans that I talked to today in the House of Representatives, especially the more moderate members, you know, said that they wish that Republicans would have come up with their own alternative to the Senate's immigration bill that they passed last year. And I think that's because, you know, look, a lot of the House Republicans didn't like the Senate bill, but they're saying we could have gone to conference, we could have talked about this, we could have come out with something on the other end. But I think there's a little bit of it's a little bit too little too late.
Mm. So why didn't they do that last year?
Well, you know, when they were staring at the 2014 midterm elections, we have to remember that while senators have to go home and appeal to a broad base of constituents, House Republicans' districts tend to be more conservative, tend to be whiter, tend to not have as many Latino voters in them. And so I think there was real concern that House Republicans might actually be politically vulnerable for supporting some kind of immigration plan that gave citizenship or even legalization to those who are in this country illegally. So I think there was a little bit of a political problem for House Republicans to really move forward with this. It would have definitely divided the Republican conference.
There's been a lot of pretty sensational descriptions of the president and who he is as a result of taking this action, that he's acting like a monarch, and he's taken usurping this power that he doesn't have, and this is illegal, et cetera. From what I've read, it really doesn't sound like what he's doing is illegal, that they've been very, very careful to make certain that it is within the duties of the responsibilities of the president and that he has legal authority to take the action that he's going to take tonight. Would you agree with that assessment, or is he overstepping his bounds? If he's not, why are the Republicans calling him a monarch?
Well, I think certainly the White House has taken great care to ensure that this action falls within the legal scope of the president's authority. With that being said, I think that, you know, House Republicans are saying that they're going to eye another lawsuit or either include this immigration action into the lawsuit that they're already pursuing. So I think they're going to try to take some legal action here. And, of course, the courts will have to sort this out. Whether or not House Speaker John Boehner has legal standing is still unknown. So I think that the courts are definitely going to be playing a part in this. You know, I'm not a legal expert, so I can't venture to say whether or not this falls within the president's constitutional acts. But I think the White House certainly believes it does.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to some phone calls for you. Randy in Key Wascom. Hi, Randy.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
As far as this president caring about the Constitution or what's lawful, he really doesn't care. I mean, as far as him working with anybody, from the day he got into office, he called Republicans in and said, well, as far as on the, he told Paul Ryan, on the health care, no, you got, you know, I won, you lost, you don't have anything to say about anything. And it's gone that way. I mean, in the last while, you've heard from Democrats that he won't work with them. This guy will not work with anybody. He's getting to a point, his head's getting bigger and bigger. I'm to a point where I'm wondering if he doesn't have his crown and scepter ordered already, because he doesn't feel that he has to work with Congress at all. He doesn't want to work with Congress. He wants what he wants. Compromise is non-existent to this person.
Lauren.
You know, I think the president has certainly been criticized for his relationships with those on Capitol Hill. I think it's also important to remember that House Republicans and Senate Republicans and House Democrats, Senate Democrats, and the president are coming from two diametrically opposed groups. You know, when they're campaigning, they have two different bases. I think that sometimes we've come to a point in this country where, the president and House Republicans are just so opposed on so many different issues. It's unclear whether or not more lunches, more dinners, more golf outings can really make that difference. I think it's hard to know for sure whether or not the president reaching out might have made a substantial amount of difference.
Thanks, Randy, for the call. Michael in Osseo. Hi, Michael.
Hello. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my
sure.
call. My reasoning behind the call is that, I was listening to everything. And first and foremost, the president, he's a master at constitutional law. So in that aspect of seeing anything that the House Republicans can go and do is going to be non-existent. I'm sorry to go and say that, but he knows what he's doing, so there'll be no pushback. Number two, my other comment is myself being a first-generation Latin American in the United States. One of the biggest things in the misconception that's being pointed out and played out to the American public and to society as a whole is they're basically focal pointing everything and it being Hispanic. The immigration reform is not just about Hispanics. It's about the Chinese. It's about the Eastern Europeans. It's about the Canadians. It's every nation that feels that they need to come to America. And we're giving them that opportunity to go do that. Lastly, my only last comment is the states should be able to go and enact their own type of reform. If the Republicans keep choosing to go and spend money and the taxpayer money in lawsuit after lawsuit and stop the income tax that they pay to the federal government and just collect more tax at the state level. Those are my comments.
All right. Thank you very much, Michael, for the call. Your response, Lauren?
You know, I think that we have seen some Republican governors look forward to dealing with this issue in their own states. We actually saw Rick Snyder move forward with kind of his own plan to get the economy rolling again in his state by, using the legislature to kind of move forward with immigration reform. So I think that some Republican governors have moved forward, and certainly the tax issue is an interesting one and a talking point that Democrats have used before, that, you know, once people come out of the shadows and they're legalized, they'll start paying taxes, and that can be a boon for the economy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was wondering about that because it's my understanding that federal benefits will not be granted as a result of this executive action tonight, that they will not be eligible for the Affordable Care Act, nor for other kinds of federal benefits, food stamps, et cetera. Is that your understanding? And if so, could there be a legal challenge to that? If you're paying taxes, aren't you entitled to some of the benefits?
Well, I will say it's hard to know because we haven't seen what the president is going to do, whether or not federal benefits. I think the White House has tried to shy away from that in the past. I will say that benefits like health care became a real sticking point in the House of Representatives. There's a bipartisan group of lawmakers who were working together to cobble together their own kind of bipartisan immigration bill. And this issue about whether or not immigrants should be getting health care became a sticking point for them. You know, some Republicans said absolutely not, they shouldn't be eligible for health care. But then some of the Democrats were arguing if you don't give them health care, then they might be relying on emergency room visits, which end up being costly to the American public in the long run as well. So I think this health care and benefits issue is one that's an interesting question. Certainly we'll have to see what the president decides.
And let's take a couple emails that have come in. Lydia in Milwaukee, I don't know if I like precisely what will be proposed, but it's time to move. We've taken advantage of cheap, powerless labor and also paid the bill in some ways. Let's get some clarity, she says. Will we get some clarity after tonight?
Well, I think the immigrant community has been very frustrated with the president. You know, when he was elected, he promised to do immigration reform. And then, of course, health care became his major first project. Then, of course, he said, you know, he was going to work on this in his second term. When the Senate bill stalled in the House, he said, I'm going to move on my own. Then he said, we'll wait till after the election. So certainly tonight is a big moment for the immigrant community. People are very excited about what's going to come forward. And I think there will be some clarity in terms of who might be able to stay in this country. It certainly could. Many dreamers who I've talked to are very excited that perhaps their parents might, you know, be able to come out of the shadows.
Mm-hmm. And from Gary in Iron River, many of the pundits say that Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush did something similar. Nobody has described what that action is. Do you? I have a little information here on this, not the whole history, but do you have information about what they did? And is it at all comparable to what the president is likely to do?
I actually just spoke with Senator Marco Rubio about this downstairs, and he made the point that, you know, for in his mind, that those actions were much smaller, that those were a way to correct legislation that had gone through Congress. I'd have to look and double-check the history there, but, you know, I think there's a feeling that Republicans are not buying that argument that this has been done before.
Mm. And the information I have is, I mean, they're somewhat different situations. President Reagan extended the voluntary departure to 7,000 Poles in response to the government declaring martial law. George W. Bush deferred enforcement to 3,600 Liberians in 2007, amnesty to 621,000 Cubans under the presidencies of Eisenhower and Nixon, or 360,000 Vietnamese, Laotians, and Cambodians under Presidents Ford and Carter. So different situations, but it's always been, I mean, it's nothing unusual. It's been a difficult issue in this country for a long, long time, hasn't it? And in some ways, it's rather ironic because we all come from immigrants, right? Here we are, except for the people, the Native Americans, we're all immigrants.
And it's fun. It's very interesting that, you know, when this bill was making its way through the Senate, that point that you just made, that everyone comes from immigrants, was one that was repeated over and over and over again, whether you were listening to Senator John Cornyn, a Republican from Texas, or Senator Amy Klobuchar, a Democrat from Minnesota. I heard that point echoed multiple times in the chamber. So I think it's a very interesting one, and one that many Republicans and Democrats both use.
Right. Well, it's going to be an interesting night, isn't it?
It certainly will be.
Yes, it will. Lauren, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Lauren Fox, staff correspondent for the National Journal. She's in the Senate cloakroom or whatever it is. Well, she's listening to what senators have been saying on the floor. You should read some of the comments. They're incredible and show the divisions on this topic between Republicans and Democrats. And I'm sure there are divisions among the ranks of the Democrats and the Republicans on this issue as well. President is giving his executive order address tonight. You will hear it. The major networks are not covering this, so it will be on Wisconsin Public Radio, where you can hear it tonight at 7 o'clock, NPR's special coverage, the presidential address to the nation on immigration, tonight at 7 o'clock. Mariana Ruiz, managing director for Presente.org, will be joining us as we continue. They are a Latino advocacy organization, and we'll talk about what they are expecting tonight and from the plans that have been outlined so far. Does it go far enough? 800-486-8655 is the number. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mariana Ruiz is our guest now, managing director of Presente.org, which is a national progressive online organization working on environmental issues, immigrant issues, criminal justice. Mariana has 15 years of experience as a union organizer and digital campaigner, and most recently comes from MoveOn.org. We'll be welcoming phone calls for Mariana as well. One line is open, 800-486-8655 is the number. Mariana, thank you so much for being with us.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for inviting us to join today's program.
Yeah, our pleasure. So are you looking forward to the president's address tonight? Do you think that he's going to say some really good things, or already do you think that it probably won't go far enough?
Well, that's interesting. Yes, I mean, I'm looking forward to tonight's announcement. I think many of us in the immigrant community are looking forward to tonight's announcement. And you know, Presente has been fighting for this for the last four years since the inception of our organization, and many of us who've been fighting as an immigrant. Fighting for immigrant rights have been fighting, you know, for the last decade. So I think tonight we're excited about what the president is going to be announcing, but I think it's a little bit of a mixed bag. You know, we're hearing reports that it's only going to include 5 million, and we have been pushing for an end to deportations for all 11 million, and hoping that no one would be excluded.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for us, it's definitely a mixed bag.
And tell me what the story is with deportations now. The president has been known for deporting many, many people who were here illegally, yes, more than any other president. So we're seeing something really different from him tonight. What kind of action had he been doing? How much deportation has been taking place, Mariana?
Yeah, so you know, President Obama has a pretty bad track record with deportations. He's deported more immigrants than any other president in the history of the United States. He's deported over 2 million people at this point throughout his presidency, and you know, that's an average of about 1,100 people per day. So you know, we feel like that's pretty appalling and disheartening, especially since, you know, the deportations are really hard on families. They're tearing families apart, and, you know, and oftentimes people are being deported who've been in the States for many, many years. So it's not like we're talking about, you know, people who don't have ties to the community. We're talking about people who've been around for a long time. And so, you know, we've been pushing for an end to the deportations. And, you know, and I think that this move by the president, you know, when President Obama took office back in 2008 and then was reelected in 2012, you know, Latino voters really came out in support of the president in both elections. And in 2012, when he was reelected, he made a promise that he would fix the broken immigration system, and, you know, stop all the suffering that had been bestowed upon the immigrant community. And so I think, you know, over the last few years, efforts by the Latino community have been, and the immigrant community have been, to really apply more pressure on the president to come through with his promise and, you know, fix the broken immigration system. So, you know, I think that tonight signals an important first step and an important win toward, you know, ending deportations for all 11 million. And it's really the result of, you know, fearless young dreamers and parents and people who are willing to risk arrest and deportation to tell their story and talk about, you know, the real human cost, the real human cost of deportations.
Mm-hmm. And we were just saying, and this has been brought up by people who should be taking on this issue in Congress, but there are, you know, we all come from, except for people who were here originally, Native Americans, we all come from different parts of the globe. It's one of the amazing things about America. We're a nation of immigrants. And I'm wondering why it is so, from your perspective, incredibly difficult to take on this issue. Why is it that Congress doesn't want to take on the issue? Why didn't the president really want to take on the issue? I don't understand that.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I don't understand either why a country that hails itself as a country of immigrants would deny people who work really hard, who come to the States for lots of different reasons. I mean, people come to the States to find work, in large part because home countries are deeply impoverished, or are fleeing violence, in home countries, or are dealing with all kinds of issues. And so, I think it's a real mistake of Congress, really, to not take this as a major priority and to not put aside all of the bipartisan challenges and to really figure out a way to fix the system. Mm. I think there's a lot of I think we're going to see tonight when the president makes his announcement. I mean, one of the things that we're really concerned with is the increased militarization on the border. And in tonight's message, we're anticipating that what's going to happen is that more resources are going to be shifted toward further militarization of the border, which is already really heavily militarized. And so, you know, I think that we need to start really focusing on being the country that welcomes its open arms, and instead of further militarizing the border, increasing like the deaths and the arrests on the border, and really trying to create opportunities for immigrants to gain citizenship when they're here.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of what you would like, if you were fashioning legislation, you've already talked about an end to deportations. Would you do a pathway to citizenship for all who are here illegally? And what would you do about those who want to come here, particularly who come across the border at great risk to themselves? What happens with future immigration?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think we really want to, I think the first important thing, I think you just hit the hammer on the nail, which is that we really want an end to deportations, in large part because the deportation process is really destroying families. You know, kids are coming home at the end of the school day to find that their parents have been picked up in ICE raids. And you know what kind of trauma that ensues in children's lives and in families' lives, and for generations to come, that has huge repercussions on individuals and communities. And it's not like I'm saying something that is an outlying experience. I think this is a common one, where families are torn apart. So the end to deportation is the first important step. And of course, yeah, we would love to have a pathway to citizenship that respects and honors the hard work that immigrants do in this country, and and provides a reasonable opportunity for people to both contribute to the system. You know, immigrants pay taxes, and so, you know, I think we want to continue to do that and to also have the opportunity to participate fully in our democracy.
All right. Can I hold you there? We have a ton of phone calls. All right, let's just go to phone calls. Yeah, 800-486-8655 is our number. Jim in Minocqua. Hi, Jim. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I'm hearing about this immigration and what's going on this evening. The key word in this is we've had illegal immigration. And a little earlier in the broadcast, I hear that we're mostly, the majority of our population in this country, we're all the offspring of immigrants. And that's true. The big difference is when my ancestors came to this country, they immigrated legally. They learned to speak the language, read and write the language, took a citizenship test, and then was granted citizenship of this country. What's being suggested now is completely different than that. And I think that's a problem. The key word is this is illegal immigrants that we're dealing with. Illegal.
Mariana.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's important to recognize that it's very challenging and very hard for people to gain citizenship. And I think everybody, you know, everybody wants the opportunity to gain citizenship, and I think part of doing that is to decriminalize the process, and to allow people to actually apply for citizenship. But I think to also deal with some of the issues that are pushing people to cross the borders. You know, which include extreme violence at home and poverty. And so, you know, faced with situations and conditions like that, you know, anybody would make the choice to leave if that was their only way to survive. And so I think immigrants are really caught between a rock and a hard place. And there's definitely, you know, I don't think anybody's crossing the border or coming to the U.S. and saying, well, what I would really like to do is to violate U.S. law. Everybody wants the opportunity to legally apply for citizenship.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Julie in Mazamani. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
I have kind of an ironic observation. My ancestors came to this country illegally. They came to escape religious persecution, the threats of death. They were not able to live a good lifestyle. There was really no opportunity for them to do that. And so they technically came to this country at great risk to their lives to make a fresh start. I find it ironic, though, that because my ancestors happened to come on a ship called the Mayflower at great risk to their lives, and they landed on a continent that belonged to the Native Americans, those people are held up as heroes. And everybody thinks, oh, the Pilgrims, the Mayflower. And yet there are people coming to this country right now for the exact same reasons my ancestors came, illegally, at great risk to their lives, and there seems to be so little compassion for that. And I guess there's not much I can do to change it, but I think it's kind of sickeningly ironic.
Thank you, Julie, very much. We'll leave your powerful comment there and go to Frank in Milwaukee. Hi, Frank.
Well, I wasn't going to say this, but I wonder how many of the Caucasian and other races came over illegally, and we don't know about that. My comment is how little we know about or remember our history. The Emancipation Proclamation was a executive order that Lincoln started introducing in like September of 1862, and finally made it final in January 1st, 1863. And we didn't have polls on that, but there was a lot of people in America that didn't like that idea, and it seemed to catch on. And that affected 4 million slaves in the 11 rebelling states, and there were only like 35 million people in the country. So that had a much farther and more sweeping effect. So I think maybe the president's thinking about that.
Thank
and
you.
If this new law or or a new executive order helps negate the suffering of so many people, I'm for it.
Thank you, Frank, very much for your call. Mariano, I wish we were talking tonight because I'd love to know what you think about what the president has to say. But what will be equally, and I hope everything is calm here, it's amazing what some of the senators have said. Oh, there might be violence. Yeah. There might be this or that. Come on. Why are you saying that? It doesn't do anybody any good. But it will be very interesting to see what happens after the president's comments tonight as well. So I hope that we can put you down on the calendar for the weeks ahead sometime.
I would love that. I'd love to come back and talk a little bit more about what's happening and what we're seeing.
Great. Thanks. Mariana Ruiz, our guest, this part of the show, managing director at Presente.org. And we thank all of our other journalist guests for being with us as well. A reminder that the president's address on immigration, his plans to take executive order will be executive action will be presented tonight. NPR's Melissa Block will be hosting our presentation. Presidential Address to the Nation on Immigration tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll carry it here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this interesting show. Thanks to Scotty Myers for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. And thanks to all of you for your calls with your thoughts on this issue. Abraham Lincoln and the Press, Hour 2.